how close to death you come, and somehow that makes you more alive. I went over the edge of something into the sanctuary of air. Boulders boiled beneath me. I didn't actually see the water. It was just the filler between the stones, the oily black background that took the place of the snow. My feet pushed as though my skis were levers, searching for a break. My poles braced like Lilliputian pikes, prodding a Gulliver of a mountain. The dance was short. A clatter of graphite and plastic, and a rough pirouette that shattered ice. The applause this time was the water cascading over me. Thinsulate and Gore-Tex, polypropylene and spandex, human flesh, all failed to stop the cold that squeezed me to the core. My instinct was to scramble forward. I was still breathing, so the waterfall must have been ragged with air, veiling me but not forcing me underwater. That seems important now that I'm struggling to believe I'm really alive. The cold was something else. Those first sharp gulps of air stabbed at a glacier inside me with the ferocity of an ice pick. After that, I was numb. Likewise, the struggle to escape was brief. My left leg was wedged hopelessly in something that seemed to be chewing on it. Call it a maw, because by rights I should still be moldering into that mountain. Mercifully, the leg too went numb. I was a dead man. Despite what I said about fate and faith and hope, I was a dead man and knew it. Faith has always been my weakness. I don't think I struggled at all after the first few seconds. Whether it was seconds or minutes, time became one more item added to things lost. And eventually, in that limbo of lost time and paralyzing cold, questions formed dimly in my brain. Why was I still dying? Why was I still thinking? I didn't believe that this was actually death, that I had crossed over. I could see the world, murkier than before, a grotto of millennia-old boulders and silhouettes, sounds and smells, even with torrents coming down around me. They tell me there was a bear. I never saw the bear. If it came there for me, it must have been very discreet about it. But I heard the bus whining down the grade, and the bus hit the bear. That's what sent the vehicle hurtling off the road and into the trees. 19 of the 22 aboard, including the driver, were killed. Unbelievable. 2 life-and-death dramas in 1 hour in one little patch of mountain. That much, at least, was coincidence. There was no feeling in me at all when I heard the crash. I don't mean just physically. I mean emotionally. A total contrast to what must have been going on in the bus. The passengers would have had time to react. All those people coming back from an outing at Mille Lacs, the icy descent, the curve, then the bear. They would hear brakes squealing and feel the surge. They would know what was happening, and even after they hit the animal and spun out, they would be flung around like screaming rag dolls until the yellow school bus broadsided against 2 trees and burst into flame. Then, the sudden extinction. The 19 died at the scene. Ironic that so many were perishing in a fiery holocaust, while 20 yards away a man was freezing to death in a waterfall. It has been suggested to me that I could not have seen the molten glow, that my eyes probably weren't working at that point. So why a memory of reds and yellows? Peter Mac's rainbows throb in my memory. It must have been the bus. The waterfall may have distorted it, but if I did, in fact, still exist, it was in a taffy-pole twilight where everything looked like a lava lamp. And there was more. The burning bus isn't what I remember most. What I remember most is a hole in the sky. I don't know what else to call it. It was an absence of light. And it rushed at me as